that's like using them, bring them here, use them, drain their brain some more, and send them back. How about if they want to stay here? How about if they want to be part of American society? What he was advocating was bring the highly skilled workers here, bring them temporary bases, use them, develop whatever you want, and then send them back. Don't bring them into the mainstream of the American society. Then that's using, draining their brain some more, and then tell them you're not allowed to stay. Now that we're done with you, you can go back. Marcella.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a double standard being played here. We need you, we're going to use you, and we're going to take you back. And then we're going to give you visas, we're going to give you the passports to come over here to the United States. And when we want to come over here voluntarily to be a part of this society, we are denied and shut out. The doors are closed for us when we want to come in, contribute with taxes and professional standards here.
Wade.
Well, first of all, the total number of immigrants that you have here, a relatively small percentage are those professionally highly qualified people who, incidentally, are not brought here and drained of their brain power and so on. They come here purely voluntarily, kicking and screaming to get here and so on. And so the idea of this being some nefarious exploitation of them, I think, doesn't make much sense. But the great majority of the people, of the immigrants who come, are people who come legally or illegally, not being required to have certain professional backgrounds and so on. That's been one of the great criticisms and contrast between Canada's immigration policy, which requires certain educational levels and so on, while the American immigration policy is generally based on family reunification, so-called chain migration. The one person comes, he gets obviously his wife and kids, his brothers, his uncles, his aunts, his, you know, this, that, and the other, and a whole chain then they bring their own other in, and many times these are the people that are fulfill a useful function. Work, you see them all the time.
And one thing that came to my mind is that Silicon Valley now has its program was done in India, in a city called Bangalore, because it's like one-tenth of what it would cost to do here in the United States. And that's, again, you know, economy at the global level. So I would say within the next 10 years, we will be pulling out workers for one thing here and programmers there and retailers somewhere else. That's reality.
There is that full economic spectrum. You know, what does it mean when we need highly skilled professionals? USA Today reminded us earlier this month that the Senate approved a bill 96-1 that would raise the annual cap of foreign professionals, and in part because companies need those.
They are needed.
They need those. But the flip side of this, and I think we can look at it a couple of ways. One, sometimes when people use the term brain drain, they're not talking about draining the professionals themselves. They're talking about what is the impact on the country they are leaving? You know, if you take the, excuse the expression, cream of the crop from those countries, those people who are well-trained, and let them come to the United States, what happens in those countries when they cannot retain and maintain other highly qualified professionals? And so part of that debate says, is there a moral dimension here where the U.S. Has a responsibility to those other countries as well? Wade?
One of the major reasons why the Senate, by that 96-1 or whatever it was, passed the bill raising the cap significantly, the contributions that they received from the high-tech industry and so on. But my point that I want to make is, except in certain very restricted fields and for certain short time periods, there is no real labor shortage in the United States of anything. It's a shortage of labor at a particular salary level. If you, I would contend, on your motels, that if you decided you would pay $2 more an hour, which would be difficult, it may raise the prices you'd have to charge at the motel, it may be that you couldn't sell as many, but if you raise the wages by $2 an hour, I suspect you'd have people knocking at your door and you'd have no problem anymore. No problem, that is, getting laborers for the particular cleaning functions and so on that we're talking about. And this is illustrated by the fact that the wealthiest segment of the United States, and I call on my labor colleague over there, trade union colleague, the wealthiest segment of the United States is now getting a higher percentage of the total income, while wages have been stagnant for the lower elements. And one of the reasons for that undoubtedly has to have been immigration, that the lower levels have been filled, more unskilled levels in many cases by immigrants, while previously they were not, they were filled by other Americans.
And you're listening to WMNF 88.5 FM, Community Radio for Tampa Bay. This is a special forum on immigration to Florida and its effects on who we are and who we've become and who we're becoming.